One of the arguments over the future of home computing is, will we add computing power to our television sets, or will we add TV capability to our personal computers? Apple is betting that the TV will be the preferred viewing device with a new approach to home computing called Pippin.
Hello! Welcome to the Colcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. Joining me today, the Germans know him as Herr Caney. The French, they call him Le Cain. Around here, he's known as the Gov. Leander Caney is here.
Le Cain?
Le Cain. It has a silent N, Leander.
Okay, yeah. And a P-Y, apparently.
Also joining us, he's like a big, cuddly teddy bear in short shorts. Buster Hein is here.
Hey, man.
And he looks so good in those short shorts.
Got
Your
some
theme
right
song
now.
Should be like, He's Got Legs. Remember that song? He knows how to use them. Buster walking around in his short shorts.
Oh goodness me. I can completely picture that. Unfortunately.
So many good news stories to talk about this week. We are going to be covering the new iPods. Strangely enough, we got some new iPods this week. And I have a question for you guys that we'll be talking about. Is Apple canceling their back-to-school program? You guys remember that? Where they would give discounts to students to buy computers for a back-to-school season. And then also, if you stay tuned to the end, we are going to be doing a fun little segment called Apple's Biggest Blunders. And these will be the products that you may or may not have heard about that Apple has released in the Apple years of yore. And they didn't do so well. And you know, it's funny, in just researching for this little segment, there have been a lot of wacky products, Leander, over the years.
Yeah. It's like, funny, people have amnesia for them. They only remember the good stuff, but yeah, there's been plenty of...
There's been a lot of bad stuff.
Right.
A lot of bad stuff. And just some straight up weird stuff that you would never have thought Apple made. But they had an era where they were making all sorts of crazy weird products. It hasn't all been iPhones and iPads. So we'll be covering that stuff towards the end of the show. Before we hop into today's festivities, I want to say thank you to our sponsors, VideoBlocks. VideoBlocks is an affordable subscription-based stock media site that gives you unlimited access to premium stock footage. They have over 100,000 HD video clips, After Effects templates, motion graphics, and backgrounds. And on average, subscribers pay less than $1 per download over the course of a year. And they have all the same premium content you would find on more expensive stock sites. A great variety of time-lapse videos, aerials, U.S. and international locations, slow motion, nature shots, and more. And they're continuously adding new stuff. Everything is 100% royalty-free and unrestricted for commercial and personal projects. Check them out at videoblocks.com/promo/cultcast. And you can sign up for a free 7-day trial to check it out yourself. That's videoblocks.com/promo/cultcast. And HipChat. Boy, if you are still using email to manage your business, you are living in the past, my friend. If you're trapped in your inbox every day, spending too much time on email, getting dragged into meetings where nothing ever gets done, then you need to check out HipChat, because they make it way easy to get through your day without wasting time sifting through your email inbox. And we've actually all used HipChat. It's kind of the way of the future, isn't it, Leander? It's like the way to run a modern day business, don't you think?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's almost like, it's essential, I think, to have a tool like this in this day and age, because email is just, unworkable anymore.
Email's the worst. And I'm sure your email inboxes are kind of like mine, where you're just constantly getting emails from people who you don't want to read emails from. It's just constant. It's like all that's in my email inbox.
Right.
Spam and crap. And
email, yeah, is to be avoided at all costs, really. And it's completely unworkable. It's a terrible way to work.
It's not a good way to work. And that's what HipChat allows you to do. They have a native Mac app that you can install. And it's a really effective team communication. So think about it kind of like chat forums, where you can kind of build different rooms and you can work in those rooms with different people. You can post files to share with people. They support up to 75 different file types. And they're on every major platform. They're on Linux. They're on Windows. They're on iOS. They are on Android. They're, of course, on OS X. And they have apps for everyone. So you can work with anyone that you want, share files. You can do video chats. You can do screen shares. And you have a great reference of everything that you've done. I think that's probably one of my favorite features about HipChat and these kind of like team working environments is with email, you have to constantly go digging for conversations that you've had. And with HipChat, you can go back and actually read through the history of everything that you guys have talked about. This actually makes it easy to bring on new employees if you're working on a project because they can go right through and read all the different stuff that you guys have talked about in the past. The perfect solution for remote work. In fact, I know that's kind of why you guys picked it up. Isn't it, Leander? Because you just needed an effective remote team management system.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And exactly for all those reasons you mentioned. I mean, there's no overhead. You know, with an email, you've got to put in a subject line and you've got to, like, you know, formulate what you're going to say and send it off. And you know, chatting is much easier. You know, you put it into a chat box, into a HipChat chat room. It can be private, it can be public. You can be talking to somebody in the main room, and everyone else gets the same message. You know, so it's a lot easier to to send it. To communicate with a team of people, it's almost essential, really, especially if you're working remotely.
Totally, because you can make decisions faster and get work done faster with group chat and video chat and file sharing.
Right, exactly. And then we've uploaded all our files there, all of our assets. So every time someone wants the logo now, you know, I used to go find it, email it to them. I do that number of times I've done that over the years, and now it just sits there in the room, and so someone can just go get it when they need it.
Right, so they don't have to go bug you because you got other things to do.
Right,
like go to the pub. More time to go. Right. Anyway, great teams get more done with HipChat. And right now, HipChat is offering our listeners 90 days of HipChat Plus for free. You can get premium features like unlimited storage, unlimited message history, and guaranteed support free for 90 days. Get your team started using HipChat today. Visit hipchat.com/cultofmac. That's hipchat.com/cultofmac. Want to thank HipChat for supporting this episode. Buster.
Yo.
I was so delighted to read this. Neil Young has declared audio is the worst it's ever been. Ever.
Ever.
It's the worst it's ever been. Forget AM radio. Forget FM radio. Forget like when radio was first starting, because I think that Neil Young has probably been here for all these eras. isn't he like, he's like 145 years old. So he's probably there when radio was invented. And he's saying it's the worst it's ever been. He's pulled all his music from streaming platforms. Isn't that right?
Yeah, from Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, all of them. Because it just sounds so bad.
It just sounds so terrible that he just can't stomach it anymore. And, you know, he's the guy behind the Pono player, which we talked about in past shows, which kind of seems like it's fizzled.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Kinda. Yeah, it has fizzled. And that's the thing, is I feel like it's more of a marketing stunt. Like, oh, if you want to hear my stuff, you got to come over to Pono and listen in high def audio.
Yeah.
But nobody is going to, you know, give up their favorite music platform just for Neil Young. Maybe a couple of old guys.
He just secured himself a couple of old guys. Is the name of the service Pono? Is that what it's called? I totally forgot.
I think so. And he has a whole marketplace too, I think, with where you can buy songs for.
Okay, so for those that don't know, Pono was a really high fidelity player that really looked kind of strange. It was like a triangular looking device, and it came in yellow. It kind of looked like a banana, actually. Mm-hmm. Didn't it look exactly like a banana? And then they had a high fidelity marketplace where you could buy these songs. But I just, what Neil Young probably hates to admit is most people just don't care.
And you can't tell the difference anyway, or at least I can't, between, you know, high fidelity like Tidal and just the regular MP3s on Apple Music. To me, there's no difference. And I really don't care if it's slightly worse either.
That's the thing, is I don't think most people care. And if you're listening through your Apple earbuds, then really
you're not going to hear
it. You're not going to hear much of a difference anyway. Yeah. So as much as he hates to admit it, but I thought it was really funny that he's just he's so fed up that he says music's the worst it's ever been, or audio quality is the worst that it's ever been.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, no way is that true. There's no way that's true.
It's not true at all. Most people can't tell. Someone did a listening test recently, like a blind listening test.
It was The Verge. Yeah.
Yeah. And they concluded you couldn't tell right at all.
Right. A couple websites have done a few blind tests and have found that, yeah, it's just kind of BS.
Yeah, and in that audio test, didn't they hire serious audiophile grade music appreciators and engineers, and no one could tell any difference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. I think they did.
I thought maybe Ars Technica did one where they had hired people that actually knew music, you know, very well.
Right.
I don't remember anymore. This was a while ago.
Yeah.
In any case, I think your average layperson probably can't tell. And if you can, that's great. Well, then you have options, right? You can go buy some music off the Pono Marketplace for $20 an album, which I think is how much they charge. Or you can do Spotify Premium. Spotify Premium is very, very, very high fidelity. It's not as good as Tidal, which is CD quality, which is the most amazing streaming music I've ever heard. But you also don't need to have a headphone amp and all the other accoutrements.
Yeah.
That right. Lacan likes to listen to when he has music.
I was listening. Let's go back to Beats. Let's talk about Beats instead. Beats Radio. I've been listening to that all week. In fact, Monday was just unbelievable because I was listening to it all day here in the office. Right, there's no one around to annoy me, and
or for you to annoy with your all day Beats playlist.
Yeah.
Julie, were you just talking?
Yeah, well, yeah, right. I thought it was extraordinary. I thought it was like, you know, there was, I listened to about, I think, 3 or 4 shows. Julie's show from London and Ebro's from New York and some Zane Lowe. And you start to see the patterns. So there's certain songs they like or certain artists they like. They're playing over and over again. So, like, I did get a bit sick of listening to Freedom. Pharrell.
You're not the only person I've heard say that. I've actually had people on Twitter complain about that.
Yeah, well, you know, they said they weren't going to have playlists, and maybe they don't, you know, but it sounds like they do.
Yeah, there's definitely, I think, 10 songs that they keep on heavy rotation on Beats all the time.
Yeah, like, right.
They play a lot of Eminem, too, and I can't stand Eminem. I mean, he's just not to my taste, and so they play him so much that I've actually found myself listening to Beats music less.
Well, my theory is that they do that as part of like artist promotions, because they also do that a lot of Pharrell, they do a lot of Eminem, they do a lot of Drake, all three of which were part of, you know, the promotional giving Apple exclusives for Beats. So I'm betting that there is probably some like, hey, you know, you give us exclusive content and we'll, you know, play your albums a lot.
Right.
That's probably like exactly
for
what happened.
A few weeks.
Yeah, totally.
But they're also playing a lot of old, you know, older music. They're playing stuff, you know, from a few years ago. Like they had, Common, The Corner, which I haven't heard for ages, but that's a great song.
Huh.
And it was like, such a kick to hear it. And I was really, really delighted. And then there was a bunch of other stuff that came out in and around it. And I quite like the fact that they're playing these, you know, they have some artists on heavy rotation. Because it's like, yeah, this is what's hot. I mean, they're playing ASAP Rocky as well, which I've really became obsessed with. So super delighted to hear some of those tracks.
So, Leander, since you've been listening to it so much.
Did I say that wrong again?
Did you? No. I don't know.
My son keeps on making fun of me because I was saying ASAP Rocky.
ASAP Rocky, yeah. That's just so funny to hear that you're obsessed with it.
I know, and he would say, oh, ASAP Rocky, yo, I love him, he's great.
Cheeky bugger. You should punch right in the face. Teach him a lesson. Leander, since you've been listening to Beats music so much, what's your favorite program so far?
Well, I like the Julius show.
What time is that on usually?
I have no idea.
I think, because don't they do it like Zane will do a show and then Julie and then Ebro and then back to Zane and then Julie? Don't sometimes they do like back-to-back-to-back shows and stuff too, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, like I'm always... It just seemed, because I always listen randomly. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to get in the car, so I'll stick it on. And I haven't noticed, you know, I haven't learned the patterns yet, so I don't know. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. When I was listening at that block that day, I didn't know. You know, they didn't repeat any shows that I could that I think anyway.
Well, as long as we're talking about music, we got some very surprising news this week. it's been, well, I guess 3 years since Apple has updated their iPods. And I kind of think iPods are on their way out, and this kind of seems to confirm that. So we got some updated iPods this week. You got an updated Shuffle, an updated Nano, and an updated iPod Touch. I don't really feel very much excitement about these updates. I mean, the iPod Touch certainly it was a pretty cool update. The Shuffle and the Nano, I think, just got paint jobs. Buster, can you confirm or deny?
The iPod Nano and the Shuffle, yeah, just got new paint jobs. And then the iPod Touch got a new 8.8 processor, 64-bit.
Dude, 64. What else did they get? So many bits.
Better camera.
So many bits. That's what I was hoping for. And then 128 gigabyte option. So basically, they iPhone 6'd the iPod Touch. So it got, you said better FaceTime HD camera, right, Buster? Did you say that already?
Yeah.
And so, and then, yeah, some, the front or the back facing camera of the iPhone 6. And it's faster. It's got Bluetooth 4.1 now. Strangely, though, the other two iPods didn't really get very much functionality other than I think you can you actually use these at all with Apple Music?
Not the iPod Nano or the Shuffle.
Okay, and you can't even sync the offline tracks either. So they're basically not compatible with Apple Music.
Right.
So only the iPod Touch can sync offline music tracks. Kind of a strange... I guess they kind of needed to do this just to kind of freshen up the line. But doesn't it kind of seem like iPods are on their way out? They just don't really make any sense anymore.
I think they make sense for some people. Kids, you know, an iPod Touch is a lot cheaper to buy for, you know, your teenager or under than an iPhone. And then I actually had the iPod Nano, the last one, and I really liked it as like a running device for when I went running or camping, and because the battery lasts super long as well. Mm-hmm. So I think they still have some uses. I would even buy an iPod Classic if it came with like 500 gigabytes.
The iPod Classics are going on eBay for an insane price.
Oh, because, yeah, they discontinued them, didn't they?
Yeah, they discontinued them.
Well, how much are they?
It depends on which model you get and how many gigabytes you have. But last I saw, they were grossly inflated on eBay.
Right, more than what they originally sold for?
I don't think it's more than what they originally sold for. Maybe some of them are. You know, there's so many different kinds. I didn't look at all of them. But I was offended when I saw the prices. I was like, there's no way this piece of like 7-year-old technology is worth as much as you're asking for. I mean, what other technology maintains its price like that? Nothing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Like after 7 years, it should be worth, like, you should have to like pay someone to take it from you.
Yeah, and there's a pretty big aftermarket of people who will upgrade the batteries, you know, to a better battery or to put an SSD in there.
Wow, so you could get would that be like a 1.8 inch SSD for like one of the original hard drive iPods?
I don't know. I didn't look at it too carefully, but I was just you know, reading about this.
That would actually be pretty cool. Maybe that's why they are going for so much, because you could trick them out.
Yeah, I'd love to get like one of the first or second generation iPods and just put a bigger HD in there, man.
That'd be
so
awesome.
Just with the old physical click wheel that sucked.
Put it on some like 20 inch blades.
Yeah.
just with the spinners, you know? That'd be awesome. Just put some giant wheels on it.
Well, I saw somewhere that people were still talking about these new iPods. They were kind of excited about them because it's like a cheap way to get into Apple's ecosystem without having to pay, you know, like a monthly. You know, service fee to a cell phone, and especially opinion of Android owners, like they were pitching it towards Android folks, saying like, if you've got an Android phone but you want to use iTunes or or the new music service, you know, this is the best way to get into that. And I was like, huh, I wonder if that's actually true. I wonder if anyone, you know, if Android people are already doing that.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if they are too. I guess it is fine if you just need a music player. It just kind of seems like we're moving away from that type of music listening experience and ecosystem, like where you buy your tracks and you put them on a device. And
well, right, but if you go to the gym, you know, you can listen to Beats One, right, on an iPod. Although I guess you could just wait until the fall until the Android app comes out and then get that.
Yeah, right? and most people, I think 16 plus, I would guess, have a cell phone. And smartphones are getting so cheap. It kind of, like, are you going to spend $400 on an iPod Touch when you already have a nice cell phone that you can listen to music on, it just doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And the other thing would be, okay, well, if it came in a 500 gigabyte plus model, then okay, that makes sense. You really want to store your entire high fidelity music collection or something on there. But it only comes up to 128 gigabytes, the iPod Touch, the new iPod Touch. Mm-hmm. So that's not even really that much.
Right. And if music's streaming now, I mean, what would you need it for anyway? What isn't if the Nano streamed, that would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I don't believe it does stream, does it?
No, which it's kind of funny because the Nano, they gave, you know, they updated it, but all the software, it's iOS 6 looking. Like if you go to the screenshots, it's all like the skeuomorphic, the scrolling. Yeah,
they didn't even update that stuff.
Yeah, according to Gruber, the whole team that was working on the iPod Nano software now does Apple Watch. So there's nobody at Apple to even bother to update the software for it.
Okay. Well, I have one too, and it's like, it's okay. It's great. Like you said, the battery lasts forever, and it's great for the gym. But managing music on it has become a real headache. You know, like you've got to sort of manually, you know, it's either you got to set up playlists, but you've got to maintain or, you know,
you have to download the old music. iTunes way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which I don't like anymore. I mean, I'd love it if it streamed. That would be great.
Right, because it's become, how lazy have we gotten? It's way too much work now, right, to even put together a playlist.
Well, I just don't even think like that anymore. You know, like it's not the way I use music any longer. So, yeah, it is. It's a pain.
It's a huge pain. I wonder if this might be the last update for iPods.
I think for the iPod Nano and the Shuffle, yeah, probably definitely. Because the iPod Classic didn't get an update for, I think, 3 or 4 years before they discontinued it.
What were you going to say, Leander?
Well, no. I just, you know, it is surprising that they've lasted this long, really.
Right, yeah. They're in especially like, the Nano and the Shuffle, which, you know, I don't think a lot of people want them.
Yeah, but they're so cheap now. And I guess if you are trying to get into the Apple ecosystem, I see these as like stocking stuffers, practically. They're expensive stocking stuffers, but if you want to get someone an Apple device, this is like the cheapest way to listen to music in the Apple ecosystem that you can get.
But like $150 for an iPod Nano, 16 gigabytes, that's still not that cheap.
I completely agree. Yeah, I was thinking about the Shuffle, actually. That is absurd. Who's going to pay $150 for an iPod Shuffle or Nano? That's outrageous.
And the Shuffle, it's 2 gigabytes. I can't believe they even make this thing anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, it is surprising, right? Because if you were going to get a music player now, you could just buy one used or just get a music player from your local drugstore for like $20. They're so cheap now.
Yeah, with a lot more storage.
Yeah, but it doesn't work with iTunes and stuff like that, does it? So
no, yeah, true.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a pro or a con, but right. Sometimes it's just easier to get one where you can just drop the music on it and just be done with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that little Shuffle was great, a great device. I mean, it really is, you know, a great workout music player for the gym.
Okay, but let me ask you this, Leander. Do you actually use it for the gym anymore?
Well, you know, I went to a Nano, and I kind of like, I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to go back to the Shuffle.
Oh, so you were using a Nano for the gym?
Yeah.
And not your iPhone?
No, it's too, you know.
The iPhone's too big?
Too bulky.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I know, it is. The iPhone 6 Plus is just too huge to go to the gym with. I mean, I certainly still do it, but it sucks when you're trying to do squats and you're like bringing your legs up to your chest and your phone keeps trying to sneak its way out of your pocket and fall on the ground.
Yeah.
Because it's just too huge.
Right, exactly.
Well, let's move on to Apple canceling their back-to-school program. Now, I don't know if they are or they're not, but it seems weird that we haven't heard anything about the back-to-school program. And historically, this has always been a good time of year to buy an Apple device because it's one of the few times of the year where you'll get something for free from Apple. It kind of feels like a discount. And what I have always done is when I bought something during the back-to-school program, I would just sell whatever they gave me for free to kind of give myself an instant discount. Do you remember when they used to give away? So from 2006 to 2012, in May or June, whenever they launched the back to school program, they would give away an iPhone. Or I'm sorry, not an iPhone.
I thought it was iPod Touch.
It was an iPod Touch, right.
Yeah.
And you could sell that thing on Craigslist for like hundreds of dollars. It was fantastic. Yeah. So you'd get like an instant discount. And then they moved to the crappier $50 to $100 Apple Store gift card, which really sucked. And then they moved to the $50 to $100 App Store gift card, which sucked even more. It was disappointing. Those things were so, I mean, $50 worth of apps. Come on. Come on, Apple. You got like $190 billion in the bank. Surely you could afford to do more. But in any case, we haven't heard anything from Apple about back to school this year so far. So I'm kind of wondering, any opinions, Leandro, on whether or not we'll see this program come back?
Well, you know, it's getting, like you said, it's getting sparser and sparser every year, right? So,
yeah, right.
And it's not like they have to, you know, the last time I went to the Apple Store, I could barely get in there. It was so packed.
I know, they're always so packed, aren't they?
This is ridiculous, yeah. It was like, you know, I thought it was the middle of a, when was it? You know, like a Monday afternoon. I thought it was going to be super quiet, but the place was absolutely jammed. And, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you know, do they ever need to offer this stuff anymore? I mean, it's like their the Black Friday sales. Mm-hmm. Yes, $2 off.
Some of the Black Friday sales. Oh, you mean for Apple?
Yeah, you know the sale prices are terrible.
Yeah, they're kind of a joke.
Right.
It's so, like save $10 on an iPad.
Yeah. Right, and they're the only store you can go into. I mean, you know, almost every single store I go to, the places I normally shop, mm-hmm. you know, I head straight for the clearance rack. And or Ross or whatever, right? So,
right.
You know, and Apple's, you know, like they nothing's ever on sale, nothing's ever discounted. You know, this is the one I think the in, like you said, it used to be the one sort of fairly decent incentive a year, because Black Friday was terrible. There was no Christmas sales. There was no holiday sales. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see it go away. They don't need to do it anymore, do they?
They don't need to do it anymore, but they used to do this as, I mean, it was a promotion, but I also felt like it was a kind of like a service. I always kind of considered it a service.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, maybe they don't need to do it anymore. I mean, the last time I went to, you know, a school, it was all Apple products everywhere.
They're done. They're like, we got them all.
Right.
We got all you guys anyway. Screw you guys. Full price for everything.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, because there used to be a lot more competition, I think, you know, like in the and because college kids still buy laptops, right? They, you know, they're not, they haven't moved over to using the iPad.
I don't think so. Yeah.
For schoolwork. I mean, so you know, I think it used to be the laptop market was a lot more competitive. And I think, especially, you know, in terms of, and price, so the budget shop is like the college kids would, you know, go for a cheap Dell or a cheap HP laptop. And HP used to sell a lot of laptops, but now it's like, I don't know, do they even, is there even any more competition anymore in the laptop space? Does anyone look at an HP laptop? I
think so.
I don't get that feeling.
I don't know for sure because I'm not in college anymore, but I mean, certainly when I was in college and anytime I visit a college, which is one nearby my house, you always just see Apple products. And I know that there are people who are PC fans, but I think most people just kind of end up in a PC because it's what they can afford, you know? It's like...
Right, exactly. But, you know, I don't think, you know, I don't know. I just get the impression, like, culturally, and I haven't looked at the numbers, but I just sort of get this impression that people don't even consider it anymore. You know, it's like they just, you know, there's no... The only choice is an Apple laptop. And it's like, you know, now the choice is between getting a MacBook Air or, you know, a MacBook Pro... or the new MacBook, you know, that kind of thing. They're not even looking outside of Apple.
Yeah, I feel like PCs, we're going to piss some people off here with this statement, but it's an Apple show, so you probably are listening to the wrong show if you expect us to hear something different. You want to get an Apple, but you end up with a PC. You know, it's like the PC is what you end up with when you can't afford to get a MacBook Air or something like that. No one, I don't think anyone goes out and says, I really want to get an Acer. Like no one says, dude, you're getting a Dell anymore. Right. You end up with one of those products because, you know, you got $600 to spend. And I definitely know people who are PC fans for whatever reasons, and they do want to get a PC, but they're kind of few and far between. Most people, they just kind of, it's not a destination restaurant. Let's put it that way. PCs aren't, right? You just kind of end up there when you've drank too much at night. And it's, you know, this drive through is open and it's 2 a.m. So that's where you go.
Good analogy.
In any case, I hope they do bring this back. I wouldn't be surprised if they did cancel it because here we are. It's already mid-June and we haven't heard anything about this. It would be a bummer. As I mentioned, this was a great time of year to get a brand new Apple device. for a discount because you could sell whatever you got for free on eBay or something and get yourself a small little discount. But there are still good ways to get discounts. I'm always surprised by how many people I hear are scared to buy an Apple refurbished product. Apple refurbished products are fantastic.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think what most people don't realize is they replace the casing entirely. So the device is brand new. They replace the battery and they give it the same Apple 1-year warranty. So you literally have a brand new Apple device. It might be a little older than what you wanted. It's usually one generation older or more. But who cares? You'll save, 15-20% on the Apple device that you want. In fact, I just bought my mom a new iPad Air. And I don't know what it is with my mom and iPads. She breaks iPads like no one's business. She broke her last one. I gave her
my mini. Snaps them over her knee?
No, they just stop. It's like she has poltergeist powers. They just stop functioning. Mm. And I gave her my iPad mini. And she just called me the other day from her home phone. And I'm like, why is my mom calling me from her home phone? She normally FaceTimes me. Pick up my phone. Hi, mom. What's going on? My iPad stopped working. What? I just gave you almost a brand new iPad mini. It's the newest generation. It was working perfectly. Stop working. She's like, it won't turn on anymore. That's exactly what happened to her last one. So long story longer, ended up buying her a iPad Air, $330 for an iPad Air.
Did you try to repair the old ones to see what was wrong with them? Maybe she just ran out of battery. Did you try plugging them in?
I should have suggested charging it. Have you tried? They always seem to last right. 2 to 3 days before they can stop working. What's the problem?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, have you tried charging it? She's like, charging it?
Well, a friend of mine was the IT manager at this fashion school here in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, he got these emergency calls like over the weekend or Friday night. They've been invaded, infected with a virus, like 60 computers, I think, or something like that. And wow. So he comes in Monday, and they've thrown them all in the trash. The lots of them, every single one.
Got viruses, and they threw them away.
They threw them away. They just threw them out. God. He couldn't believe it. He's like, hey, you can just wipe the drives and start again. Like, no, we're going to get new computers. They're infected.
They're infected. We must incinerate them. They're already on their way to the incinerator. They're infected. They've been quarantined. Yeah. We're checking the students to make sure they haven't contracted any disease from the computer. Right, we want to make sure this doesn't spread.
Right. I know. Yeah. Weird, huh?
I used to work with this is a while ago, but I used to work with a group of people who were like learning computer skills. And they were scared to press the X on a window to close it because they thought that means they had deleted it for whatever reason. That's kind of what it reminds me of. I'm like,
yeah. Mm.
The IT manager wasn't the one that threw these away, was he?
No. Okay. It was like, in fact, I think it became the IT manager after that episode because I think they fired the other guy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He was the junior IT manager.
If you go in and your IT manager is throwing your computers away because they got a virus, quote unquote, I think it's time to start looking for a new IT manager. Yeah,
right. There might have been other motives, though. I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, yeah, this is just like, he couldn't have been that, It sounds like he was pulling something on his bosses, right? Like maybe he wanted to upgrade the computers and he used this as an excuse to do that.
He's like, they're infected.
Right.
They've been quarantined.
You got to get rid of them.
You got to get rid of all these computers. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Okay.
Thank God you're here. I don't want the kids to contract any illnesses. These computers need to be incinerated immediately.
Right.
All righty. Well, before we move on to Apple's biggest blunders, that's my best monster truck voice. I want to give a shout out and a thanks to Casper for supporting this episode. How old is your bed? Is your bed like 10 years old, 20 years old? Are you sleeping on something that your parents handed you down? That has been slept on by all your siblings and is concave in the middle. And so every time you wake up, you're in the middle of the bed because that's where your body rolls to. It's time to think about buying a new bed. And Casper mattresses are obsessively engineered, American-made mattresses at a shockingly fair price. And I mean that. So check this out. You could get a Casper mattress, a king size, for $950. When I purchased my mattress some years ago, I got a queen. And it cost me over $1,000. And I also had to buy the thing that goes under the mattress. I don't even know what that thing's called. The box? And then, because the mattress wasn't comfortable, I ended up spending hundreds of dollars on a memory foam pad just to make the mattress bearable. So here I am sitting at $1,300, $1,400 plus tax or including tax for a mattress. You could have gotten a king size bed from Casper for $950. And for anyone listening to this show, if you go to casper.com/cultcast and use the code cultcast, you actually save or you'll get $50 towards any mattress purchase. So you can get a king size mattress for $900. You can get a twin for $500 or $450 after using code cultcast. But here's what makes Casper mattresses magical and why they're so highly reviewed. When you read the reviews online, like even on Amazon, they're always like 4.5, 5 stars out of 5 stars. People love Casper mattresses.
People love them. Yeah, people I've talked to who have them like rave about them.
I've never met anyone to bring it up because bad about them.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't want to bring it up because they just start ranting.
I know what you mean. This is why we don't say the word SONOS to Leander Caney. Same reason. Some products people just love them. Casper brings together two comfy technologies to make your nights better: latex foam and memory foam. They have just the right amount of sink, just the right amount of bounce, no matter how you sleep. But here's the best part: when I bought my bed, you get to go in there, and some 18-year-old is like, "Sir, do you want to lay down in this bed?" And you lay in the bed for 10 minutes, and you have to make a $1,000 decision: do you want to buy this bed or not? Casper will send you the bed, and you could sleep in it for 100 days. And if you're not happy, they'll actually pick it back up from you, so you can try it risk-free. I don't think anyone else makes that offer. So you really have nothing to lose. If you want to try out a new mattress, if you're ready to get a better night's sleep, try out Casper mattresses. And again, it's casper.com, casper.com/cultcast, and use code cultcast at checkout. And do your research. Go online and search for Casper mattress reviews. You don't have to take my word for it. You can research it for yourself, and you'll see that people just love their Casper mattresses, and they sleep better with them. I want to thank Casper for supporting this episode. All right, guys. I'm looking forward to hearing your worst Apple products. I did some research, and I came up with a product that I actually hadn't even heard of before.
What's the criteria? It's like, because you mentioned earlier biggest flops, right? So
yeah, anything that Apple has released, it could be software, it could be hardware, really just didn't do very well commercially, or in your opinion, really sucked bad.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And it just leaves you rolling your eyes and your hands in the air, shaking your head, thinking, why would they ever release this? Does anyone want to go first? Buster, didn't you have a pick already that was pretty solid?
I got one pick. I don't know if it's pretty solid, but it's the Hockey Puck mouse from the original iMac. And that was the original iMac. That was like kind of my first introduction to Apple. And I just remember hating those machines in high school because the mouse was just so stupid. And I couldn't believe anybody would make a computer like with this round Hockey Puck mouse. It just wasn't comfortable to use. It's just a pain in the butt, man.
But they did look cool.
I don't know if it actually looked cool, though. I just using it was just so frustrating because it wasn't big enough to fit in your hand. So you're just, you know, three fingering it around your desktop. It was just stupid.
No one wants three fingering around their desktop. That's just disgusting.
Yeah, they only had it around for 2 years, I think. And then they finally decided.
What year was that released? Do you remember?
98.
I feel like a lot of the products that we're going to talk about came in like the 1990 to 2000 era. Well,
that's funny you should mention that. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what's your pick, Leander?
Well, my pick was going to be the it was exactly that. It was a monitor. It was the Apple CRT Studio Display, I think it was called.
Was the Apple TV?
Well, no, it was a display that was inspired like it looked like the Bondi Blue iMac. Uh-huh. But it was an external display, and it was a CRT, right? So it was like a giant, 200-pound TV. And it's just, if you look at them now, you go, oh, my God, that is butt ugly.
I'm looking at it now. That is ugly. And it had the clear back, and it's just huge.
What was it called, Leander? The Apple
Studio Display?
I have never even heard of this thing.
Me either.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, that's gorgeous. some hipster at this very moment is using this in his studio apartment, feeling really awesome, Leander.
And has a rainbow colored on-off button.
Of course. Oh, look at this. In the Wikipedia picture, it's connected to the Power Mac G4 Cube, which also none of us, contender. I don't think, picked, but that's definitely an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. No. You know, that one's actually defensible.
How so? Because didn't it not sell very well commercially?
Yeah. It was a total flop. And in fact, it almost brought down Apple. I mean, it almost made the company bankrupt.
It was so bad that it almost bankrupted them?
Yeah.
Well, what was because so terrible about it?
What was so terrible about it?
Yeah.
Super expensive, wasn't it?
Yeah, right, exactly. It was too expensive for consumers, and it wasn't expandable enough for pros. So it was in this kind of weird middle ground, you know, where nobody wanted it.
It was like a modern-day Lisa, which had the exact same problem, didn't it? Is that it was way too expensive for consumers and businesses, and when they released it, I think it was $10,000. And it was a gorgeous machine, but it just wasn't powerful enough for business users, had a ton of hardware problems, and was so overpriced that no one wanted to pay for it.
Yeah, this one was really, it wasn't very well conceived. I mean, because, you know, I think it was a Steve Jobs special, and he wanted, you know, he always wanted like an update of the next machine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the design team, you know, wanted to make this, you know, perfectly silent, good-looking sort of piece of desktop sculpture. They wanted people to put it on the desk rather than under the desks. But, you know, the design meant you couldn't upgrade it. You couldn't stick a more powerful video card in there. You couldn't put extra memory in or extra storage space. So, you know, it had limited appeal to pro users at the time because it was kind of underpowered. And like you said, yeah, you know, for consumers, it was too expensive. I mean, it was like three times the price or four times the price of a comparable machine, and they didn't care if they put it under the desk or not.
I got a couple picks here that one of them you probably heard of, one of them you may not have ever heard of. I had not ever heard of this product. Let's start with that one. The Apple Pippin.
You never heard of that?
Huh? I never heard of the Pippin. And Leander, had you heard of the Pippin?
Yeah. That was a big deal. Yeah, when I was trying to get a job at Mac Week.
Oh, really? Was it?
Interview was about the Pippin, yeah.
Okay, good. So maybe you'll be able to shine some light on this, because Pippin was kind of the precursor to the Apple TV. It was released in 1995, during which Apple seemed to be in the middle of their worst creative period ever. And they released this computer-like console. It looks like a Nintendo 64. And the purpose of it was to be And Leander, correct me if I'm wrong here, a video game console / computer. It was supposed to be able to kind of operate in both capacities, and you would hook it up to your TV. But the problem is they never really described how people should be using this thing, and it was double the price of Nintendo consoles, Sega consoles, Sony consoles. So it was too expensive to be a gaming console, but too odd to be a computer. And eventually, Bandai, who makes toys and video games, tried to turn this thing into like an actual video game console, and it just didn't do very well. Was there anything else that this thing was actually supposed to do, Leander? Internet gaming. That's right. It had a dial-up modem built in. I mean, when you look at the picture, it looks exactly like a Nintendo 64 to me.
Oh, that Boomerang controller is awesome, right?
Boomerang controller, obviously far ahead of its time. In fact, we're still not even caught up to when they'll be using this. Leander, anything?
Well, you know, after boasting that I knew everything about this, I just realized I actually know nothing about it. So,
so was this a big thing when used? We're trying to get started in the Apple world?
Yeah, because it was a big thing in the press, like in the early 90s, right?
Yeah.
Or sort of mid-90s, and I was trying to get a job at Mac Week, and I remember picking up the San Francisco Chronicle and reading a story about it about 10 minutes before I went in for the interview, and then using what I just read as the basis of like trying to sell them on giving me a job. And then luckily they were so desperate that it didn't really matter what, you know, what I said. I got it anyway.
They're like, what you said made absolutely no sense at all, sir, but we need someone now. You're right. Hired.
Where can you start?
Where can you start? Do you know how to use a mop?
Right. Well, it was actually a mouse. So
a mouse. My apologies.
Yeah, I was. You know, I said that I, you know, I'd used a Mac, and that was enough, I think, to get me the job.
Well, in those days, that was probably a serious skill set. It's like, oh, you know how to use a Mac? You're hired.
Right. Exactly. And I think it wasn't the Pippin doomed by the partnerships. I mean, they couldn't get the software, right? From what that's what I remember.
I mean, very possibly. But here's what I know about the Pippin. After all the reading that I've done about this product, I still cannot tell you what it actually was supposed to do.
Did it have any cool games? That was my question. Yeah.
You know, Buster, I just don't know. Just don't know the answer to that question. Excellent question, but I have no clue. And my guess is it played. I mean, it had a power PC processor, so my guess is it played Mac games.
Yeah, so probably terrible game collection.
So yeah, probably only like the most popular games that were available on PC 10 years ago ever got made for it. Would be my guess. My second pick. I actually think this is a cool product, but I think it was probably just too far ahead of its time. And that was the Apple Newton, Leander, the first PDA, the personal assistant from Apple, which if you look at a picture between looking at the Newton and the iPhone side by side, I had no idea how huge the Newton was. This thing was not this thing would not fit in your pocket. It's absolutely ginormous.
Well, it kind of would. It would fit in a jacket pocket, like a sport jacket. If you stuffed it into the inside
really
pocket,
stuffed it in.
And if you really crammed it in there, it would go in there. Yeah, that was their design goal, to make sure that it went into a jacket pocket.
They barely made that goal, Leander. This thing is ginormous.
But people, you know, that got at the time, that was lusted after. That was very, very lust worthy, but by a certain segment of the geek population.
Yeah.
Because it did a whole bunch of stuff that you could never do before.
Yeah, like it would send faxes.
Right.
Amazing.
That was super cool for the business, you know, world. And the handwriting recognition, when they finally got it to work, I mean, people were like totally blown over by that.
Okay, so one of the big features was the handwriting recognition. But I read that was actually one of the biggest problems with the Newton, is the handwriting recognition was terrible. It didn't actually work.
That's what doomed it. Well, it kind of—I think they got it working, you know, right after that Doonesbury cut. So there was a—it was a feature in a Doonesbury cartoon, and he made fun of it for about a week, and it was a little bit, you know, unfair because it wasn't quite as bad as it, you know, was portrayed in the cartoon.
Uh-huh.
But you know, it was kind of like, remember graffiti on the palm? You know, you had to sort of train it a little bit. You had to sort of get used to its intricacies, and. You know, make a few, you know, learn how to make, you know, not to make to make mistakes. So
it was just way ahead of its time too, wasn't it? I mean, wasn't that kind of the big problem with it?
It opened the door for, I think, for a lot of things, you know, like it was, it's interesting to look at it in the history of what, you know, what came afterwards. I mean, it opened the door for, I mean, the clever thing, it was very, very, futuristic for its time, I think. In a clunky kind of way. But, you know, it inspired Jeff Hawkins at Palm, you know, to make the Palm Pilot, which was a huge breakthrough. And he did what Apple should have done, you know, which Jobs did when he came back, which is he really simplified it. It was like, okay, let's just, you know, put it down to the bare bones. And a lot of the intelligence was actually in the syncing software, you know, which was a lesson that they learned, you know, with iTunes afterwards, you know, with the iPod and stuff like that. It was like, okay, you don't need to cram everything onto the device. You can use another device to manage it. And that was the genius with the Palm Pilot. And the Palm Pilot, of course, you know, was a lot smaller,
slacks and not your jacket pocket.
Right,
huge upgrade.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But people are still, you know, like, do you remember when Jobs came back and he killed the Newton? There was actually a demonstration in Apple's car park. I mean, there were people out there with placards.
Because they were so passionate about the Newton?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it had such a big following, or passionate following.
A really passionate following. And then they kept it going for like another 10 years, and there were people who were still making hardware and software for it. They were added drivers, you know, so you could get it onto the internet and you could do some browsing with it. And there was all kinds of crazy stuff that people were doing for a good, you know, decade afterwards. And it finally kind of died out when the iPhone came out. But
you're kidding. It went that long.
Yeah.
All the way to 2007.
Yep, pretty amazing.
That is amazing, considering the screen is just, you know, monochromatic on that green screen.
They got it right, you know. I think it was two more versions after the initial one, and you know, by the end, it had really become pretty good, I think, and people really, really did like it.
Wouldn't it be crazy if when they released like the quote unquote iPad Pro, they released it as the Newton, like the new Newton? That would blow people's minds, and people would be dying.
Well, that was the first thing that Johnny Ive designed when he got hired by Apple, was one of the Newtons.
It's a cool looking device.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, it's even though it's ginormous and looks like you're trying to hold a laptop in your pocket, it's like as big as the app and the MacBook Air. Like, that's how big it looks in this picture. All righty. Well, any honorable mentions before we move on to the last short segment of the show here, guys? I would say the Apple Hi-Fi.
The Hi-Fi. Ping.
may it rest in peace. What?
Yeah, well, there was some. When you said the Pippin was a precursor to Apple TV, the thing I thought of was the Macintosh TV, which was a TV in a Macintosh.
Was that an actual Apple product?
Yeah, and it came with a little remote control, and you could flip it into a TV, and it had it had an antenna, I think, and I think it served double duty as a TV and as a Macintosh.
Holy moly! Yeah, look at that. It looks like an IBM PC. Oh my gosh, look at this thing. I'm so happy we're not using CRTs anymore. Those things were so huge. They took up so much space. So did the Macintosh TV actually do all right? Or was it just one of those products that was kind of like a blip, never sold, and then...
Yeah, a blip, I think. It didn't, it didn't do that. I remember one of my colleagues at MacWeek, Tom, I've forgotten his last name, but he had one. I remember thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. I like one of those.
I mean, look at these specs. It had a 2x CD-ROM burner or player, 160 megabyte hard drive, had DB25 SCSI. That's cool.
The cool thing is he had it hooked up to a VCR, from what I remember. So he was playing his video cassettes on it.
So everyone was just totally in awe of how cool Tom's computer was.
Yeah.
Does that thing connect to your VCR, Tom? It sure does, Leander. You're so awesome, Tom. Thanks, Leander. All right, let's move on to the last story. I just thought this is worth an honorable mention because I think that this is probably the worst way possible to motivate your workforce. So did you guys hear about this company who put a golden Steve Jobs bust in its lobby right in front of the time punch card machine to inspire their workforce?
It just reminds me of Moses and the golden cow, you know?
Leander, I can only imagine you have something similar in front of the Cult of Mac time clock.
Well, I just rearranged my office here, yeah. And exactly, we have a little figurine that was sent to us from our friends in Hong Kong. The Jobs little statuette. It's about 8 inches high.
Oh, is it made out of solid gold?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
Solid plaster.
Solid plastic. Oh, plaster. So a Shanghai company has created a gold bust of Steve Jobs. This is a true story. To greet employees as they sign into work each day, the idea is to inspire, quote, to inspire employees with Jobs' insistence on finding the best way to do something. Yes. So just marinate on that. If you need to motivate your workforce, don't worry about better benefits.
Give them what Steve Jobs' golden idol.
You don't need to pay them a living wage. It's okay if you have to work 20 hours a day.
Scary.
What's that?
The bust is not, he looks harsh and scary.
He looks super stern. Yeah, look at him. Right. It's like he's scowling at them.
It's exactly, you will do your best.
Or I will berate you in front of all your colleagues.
Right.
And look at the shirt. It has all these weird folds. It kind of makes it look like he has man breasts or something.
Yeah,
it's not flattering. Below the Adam's apple up, spot on. Yeah. Look at that Adam's apple, that detail in the Adam's apple. My goodness, this guy was obviously very talented. Anyway, I think we should probably go ahead and wrap it up there. But if you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, we would so love to hear from you. I'm at Arifon, Leander's Alcani, Buster's BST3R. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I feel like that was just really abrupt. Was that?
No, that was horrible. That was the worst ending ever.
Was that super abrupt?
Yeah, did you have to suddenly, do you have to go to the bathroom or something?
It's the end of the story, and you guys
kind of wrapped it up.
Yeah,
I don't know. It kind of sort of, and then it was like, okay, all right, now, fuck it, I've had enough. Okay.
You guys don't think that's funny? Screw you guys. I'm ending this thing. I'm driving this thing off a cliff.
Oh, I love it when you call me.
Hola, señor.
What's up?
Hola. ¿Cómo te llamas?
Muy bien.
What's your name? I'm very good.
That's the extent of my Spanish knowledge.
You and I should travel to Latin America and just wow everyone with our Spanish skills.
They'd probably love us down there.
I bet you they would, actually, with our vast collection of short shorts in multiple metallic shades and colors.
Oh, especially if we mustachioed it up.
And stuff. Now you're talking. Oh, yeah, short shorts with a mustache. That's probably a super hot look down there.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get all the senoritas.
Senoritas. And some senors, yeah, with that look.
Mostly senors. Yeah, mostly.
Probably majority of the senors might want to party with us.